This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's an honor to welcome back to this studio. It's been a while. Waldo Jaquith joins us live in studio. You know him as the guy who brought us cvillenews.com, waldo.net. He is one of the gentlemen here, the talented folks here in our community who helped to introduce Central Virginia to the internet. Back in the day.
It would have happened anyway.
Do you remember Ping?
I do. I was a contributor to Ping magazine.
Wasn't that great? Tell folks what that was, because it really was the first like sort of bridge between this web world that nobody knew about and just folks standing on a corner.
Jim Arnett, you remember Arnett's on the corner where Starbucks is now. Jim Arnett founded the first internet service provider in Charlottesville called Comet.net, and he had this idea that more people would use the internet if they could learn what it was. So we started putting out this monthly like newspaper, like a tabloid-style newspaper, all about the internet in Charlottesville. It was this incredibly niche publication. It was fun.
It was great. I read it. It was awesome. And I didn't know anything about the internet then, but I'm like, this is sort of cool. This stuff is on the computer?
And all of us putting it out, we knew nothing about newspapers. Like, we knew all about the internet. We thought, well, surely this will translate.
Yeah.
No, it did not. But it was fun.
So bring us up to date. What's the status of, like, Cville News? And it's become, like, incredibly popular as just this place to go and talk about. It's like become a virtual pub where you can just go in at any time of day and somebody's in there talking about some local news story. It's a lot of fun.
Well, there are now a lot of virtual pubs, which is what I love. When I started the site in 2001, there were very few local websites and none that would allow any sort of discussion. You could read what people had to say, but there's no way to talk back. And I'm glad to say that there are now hundreds of local websites. I mean, hundreds of websites with discussion boards that talk about current local relevant issues. Everybody from The Hook to The Daily Progress to the Newsplex of Doom or whatever they call themselves. I love that name, Newsplex. They've all got the ability for people to talk back and carry on discussions on their website. So yeah, Cville News remains a popular website with thousands of people reading it every week, and that's great. But even better, though, is that it's part of this, I think, this big vital community.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things that just makes this a fun place to live. Also, remind us, too, about one of your big projects, which you continue to work on, RichmondSunlight.com, which has arguably become a national model for how you can put a little sunlight on government and inform citizens and voters about what their representatives are doing.
It's a website that takes the data that the General Assembly provides themselves. They put all sorts of information about what's going on when the General Assembly's in session as they are right now. But the website's really hard to understand. So I take all that data and repurpose it in a way that's easier for people to get at RichmondSunlight.com. And in fact, the website came about in part because me on your show a few years ago, we were talking about a site that I'd set up as a precursor to it, that you would subscribe with an RSS reader and you get the same information. And I spent all my time on the radio show explaining RSS.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me afterwards, you know, let's just skip the RSS. Let's just put it on the web.
Somebody go click on the website and look at it.
Yeah, and so the result of that was RichmondSunlight.com.
Which is fantastic. And for folks like me who like to, you know, stay informed about what the General Assembly is doing, that is the go-to place. It's just unbelievable what's on there.
I've had some really great conversations with legislators and even some folks who work for the state government who love it so much that they would like to make the state government's website more like Richmond Sunlight in some substantial ways. Because what makes a site great is nothing I've done. It's that it takes the contributions of all the people who come to the website and make it really easy for you to understand what the heck your legislator, you know, David Toscano or Creed Deeds or Rob Bell or whomever, what they're doing in Richmond. Because most of it is trouble. And you probably want to find out what they're doing.
We're talking with Waldo Jaquith, waldo.net, cvillenews.com. Let's change gears now and get to the real issue here that I wanted to have you come in and talk about. It's sort of a little bit about new technology, but not really about the internet. And we're talking about energy and windmills and wind power in Albemarle County. It sparked a huge discussion at cvillenews.com when you tell us what you posted online when you started talking about this that sparked this big discussion.
Sure. The Planning Commission was looking at continuing their prohibition on windmills. They don't allow windmills. They won't approve them if you want one. So if you wanted a small windmill to power a pump to pump water to feed your cattle or whatever, you're not allowed to do that. And the reason they don't let you do that is they don't quite know how they would handle the permit and what issues it might raise. Their solution was to prohibit it. And they were prepared to renew that prohibition again for another couple of years at a recent Planning Commission meeting a couple of weeks ago. And I'd written about this on Civil News, and as I sometimes do, I tossed in my own 2 cents and said, this is crazy. You don't ban something because you don't understand it. And on top of that, we've got an ongoing global energy crisis here, and we really need to be encouraging people to generate their own energy. And to their credit, the vote switched from what was thought to be 0-6 to 6-0 to have county staff explore legislation to allow people to erect just small personal windmills to power their homes or their water pumps or what have you.
Now, when you go over the mountain or you drive on 81 or Augusta County, Rockbridge, Rockingham, you see windmills all over the place on cattle farms and everything.
Yeah, when you go west towards the Blue Ridge, you're in a great area for wind there. And when you go west, as I did about a month ago, I took a drive with my wife through Highland County and Bath County.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it's a great part of Virginia.
That for wind is excellent. You cannot beat the Chesapeake Bay. That is an amazing place for really great wind power. And Albemarle, it's the western edge right along the edge of the Blue Ridge there. And where I live, up on the Southwest Mountains that run, you know, Monticello is one of the Southwest Mountains.
Yeah.
It runs up north to Orange and then south through Nelson. The rest of the county, not so hot for wind. So there's not going to be a lot of disputes. Like, not a whole lot of people in, you know, Free Union or Keswick looking to put up windmills that their neighbors are going to be upset about. You know,
but some folks who live up on the sides of some of these mountains or on some hills like you do,
sure,
it makes sense.
Absolutely.
And tell us, explain to us now, for somebody like me who's just, I'm just illiterate when it comes to windmills. How does this make sense for somebody with their own home if you live in a place where you can capture the wind? Because they have all these, I was reading, they got all these like new kind of windmills now.
They're really cheap and efficient now. There's a company called SkyStream who really is emblematic of windmills now, who I should mention, one of the C-something-O's, CEO or CFO or something, was contributing to this discussion on Civil News, which was great. SkyStream makes a $10,000 like pop-up windmill. I think it's like 30 feet tall or something. And you set it up and put some guy wires in the ground, and you can wire it into your home power system. So not only will it help power your house, and on a windy day, you might be able to get, you know, maybe a third of the power for your house. Most of the time, you might only get maybe 10% if you live in the Southwest Mountains like I do. But that excess power generator, you can sell back to the power company. They will pay you for it. You can be a wind farmer to supplement your income, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. That is incredible. And so, And Dominion would do that? Dominion Virginia
Dominion
Power?
Dominion has to. They're legally obliged to buy your power back. The only thing I don't like about it is they only have to buy it back at the rate that they sell it to you at. And I'm a free market guy. And my thinking is my clean wind energy or my clean solar energy is worth so much more on the free market than their dirty coal energy. So I think you should get more for it. And I intend to talk to some legislators. I'm visiting Richmond tomorrow to the General Assembly. I'm going to talk to them about this.
It makes a lot of sense.
I'd like to be able to sell my power back.
I mean, if you're really looking at apples to apples,
yep,
it's cleaner. It's more efficient.
Well, and I personally would pay more. I would love to be able to buy clean wind from somebody in Crozet. I might pay maybe 20 cents a kilowatt hour when the power company charges me 8 or 9. But I would pay that knowing that my money is going for clean power to my neighbor in Crozet. So we can see it's worth more, and I think people ought to be allowed to put these things up and be wind farmers. You know, tobacco ain't going anywhere in Virginia anymore. You know, most farming is dying out. Let us farm energy in our backyards.
We're talking with Waldo Jaquith of CivilNews.com, and he's also the web editor at the Virginia Quarterly Review, online at vqronline.org. Might we see, perhaps, down the road, some big fields, whether it's in the valley or even places in Albemarle County, where you just see a whole bunch of windmills?
Probably not in Albemarle, and a couple of reasons. The first is the Planning Commission will almost certainly prohibit large-scale wind farms, in part because it would piss off the neighbors. but the sensitive environmental types tend to get upset because it can hurt the birds and this sort of thing.
But that's really, just as a sidebar here, that's really overblown, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, yes.
All of a sudden birds are going to start falling from the sky.
Something like, on average, with really huge windmills, really huge, like 120-foot windmills, something like 1.2 birds die from hitting one every year.
And a good half, wow.
A good half dozen birds hit my house and die every year. That's no exaggeration. So it also because
you get
Albemarle,
the thump on the plate glass window.
Oh, it's heartbreaking. But also because Albemarle is just not a great place for large-scale wind farming. You'll see it in Highland County, and God help us, I really hope we see it in the Chesapeake, because that's just a huge booming business waiting to happen.
Yeah, to put those just huge windmills out in the bay
Yeah.
would be fantastic.
And the thing about windmills, some people say, oh, they're an eyesore. You know, know what? You never hear anybody say, man, I loved visiting Holland. The tulips were gorgeous. But, oh, the windmills, they're hideous. You know, it doesn't come up. It's possible to do these things in a way that is attractive and reasonable.
Yeah.
And so, you put them way offshore and they're, you know, an eighth of an inch tall as they appear from shore.
So what do you think we're going to see in Albemarle County? Your best educated guess about what we might see down the road that the county would allow.
I think we're going to see more folks like me. I'd love to do this. Putting up personal windmills in combination with some solar panels, people who believe in self-sufficiency and who want to make a little money farming energy. I don't think we'll see much more than that. I mean, if we're lucky, we might see dozens of people and probably not much more than that around Albemarle setting up windmills. But you never know. If the price of electricity keeps going up, we might all be wind farmers.
We're talking with Waldo Jake with SevilleNews.com. What's the status with Dominion? Because I had heard that they were sort of dragging their feet about this whole idea of alternative energy.
Oh,
because,
God, yes.
You know, they make money on regular old-fashioned, smelly, dirty energy,
yeah.
And they do a lot of it. What do you think is the status there? Because they're not really out in front, I guess, on new energy.
Dominion had to be dragged kicking and screaming into the 20th century, and the 21st is a ways off for them. Dominion's going to try to do is to fight anything that they possibly can that would require them or even encourage them for people to conserve energy, which is understandable. They're in the business of selling energy. Why do they want people to conserve it?
Sure, sure.
But what they're also fighting, which I think is really foolish, is encouraging more people to generate home energy and sell it back. The reason I think it's foolish, let me see how easily I can explain this, is that imagine you're Dominion and you have to supply X amount of power. So you might own a dozen coal-fired boilers. Well, you only need to fire up a dozen when you really need a lot of power on the hottest day of summer. So what do? You generally run the most efficient ones. And the one or two boilers that you have to keep on hand for, you know, August 15th when it's incredibly hot, those are your smelliest, least efficient ones that you're going to be fined like mad for polluting with. So you don't want to use those much. So what they want to do is what's known as shaving off the peak. If they can just address that demand for the hottest days of the year and they don't have to own those two boilers, they can get rid of them and they don't need to pay the fines for firing them up. They can shave off the peak just by having a tiny number of people all around the state generate power through solar or wind or what have you. Shaving off the peak is an incredibly powerful concept that Dominion, I don't know why, they're terrified of, I guess just because it's change.
Might we see perhaps Albemarle County as a government? What's to prevent Albemarle County government from setting a bunch of windmills up on county land up on the Blue Ridge and creating a wind farm that they can then pipe down to schools or whatever?
Well, there's a few things, not the least of which is that the overall generation of power is regulated by the State Corporation Commission. So my understanding is they'd have to get permission from the SCC to do that.
Good luck.
Another is that if you're putting up towers on mountains like that, particularly big enough ones that you really want to be able to generate much power as they would want to at that scale, you got to get permission from the FAA because you can't just go sticking up towers on top of mountains and hoping airplanes don't hit them. And finally, to be fair, I just don't think the county should be in that business. I'm a libertarian Democrat, a libertarian liberal. And one of those is that I think the private market can do a lot better with that.
Yeah. So might we see some folks getting into this market and saying, hey, there's some places here in Virginia, whether it's the Chesapeake Bay or over in the Valley or Highland County, that have enormous potential to produce energy just from the wind?
I think so. Yeah, we're going to need some changes with regulations to make it possible, but I think it'll happen.
We're talking with Waldo Jaquith. Mark is on line one. Mark, thanks for the call. You're on with Waldo. You go right ahead.
The last time that I checked, you actually couldn't make any money selling electricity back to Dominion Resources. Once you get to even, they give you credit, but they won't give you cash.
Yeah, that actually, it did work like that up until about a year ago. Yes, it was an awful system. I'm glad you mentioned that. The system used to be that you might generate 1,000 kilowatts of power, and all they do is they give you 1,000 kilowatts of credit on your bill. Well, I don't want credit. I want money.
Yeah.
And if 12 months later you haven't cashed that in by using extra electricity, well, you lose that credit.
Oh, gosh.
But Dominion Power, they went crawling back to the state a couple years ago after deregulation and said, please, to the General Assembly, please regulate us, which is why it's BS when people often say, oh, regulation is always brought on businesses that don't want it. They were desperate to be regulated. And one of the strings the General Assembly attached was, fine, but you have to pay people. You have to pay people the same rate you charge for your power in order to sell it. So, yes, you're right, Mark, but that was how it worked, but it changed about a year ago.
Okay, great.
Good deal. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Thank you so much. It would just be wonderful to see these companies come in. And, you know, I'm thinking of all the folks out there who maybe they raise cattle or they had a family farm, and to be able to work with some kind of windmill company and be able to set up something on their land.
Oh, yeah.
And tie into other farms to produce some money. And
absolutely. And I think that makes
sense. I mean,
so
that's where
sense.
This whole country's going, aren't we? I mean, we have to be open to that kind of 21st century ideas.
Well, right? It's good in a few fronts. The first is that it allows America to become a country that can stop being a net importer of energy, which would be just great. It's better for our national security. Another is that it means that we don't have to break up so many family farms because it's just not viable to be raising cattle anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So it means there's something to do with it. And the third is I really get tired of people moving into newly developed suburbs next to farms and then complaining about the smell of the farm. I have no patience
Amen.
For these people.
Yeah, yeah. Why'd you live here? Why'd you move here?
Yeah. So I figure that's perfect land on which to put up windmills, and I don't want to hear anybody complain, because if it's been a farm for 100 years, well, you knew what you were moving next to. If they want to put in windmills, that's their business.
Waldo Jaquith online at CVilleNews.com. He's also the web editor at the Virginia Quarterly Review. You can check that out as well, VQROnline.org. And you can join the conversation about the future of wind power here in Virginia online at CVilleNews.com. Waldo, thank you very much.
I appreciate it. You're welcome.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.